This is URN.
Hello and welcome to the next instalment of URN In Conversation. And who am I in conversation with? Well, I have with me the guest of Joe Paternoster. Hello.
Hello.
And so what role are you within the university?
I work for the Students' Union as the Activities Officer. I'm the geezer who looks after societies, student groups, lots of event stuff, fundraising, all that shebang. I have a lot of fun in my role. I get called the Fun Officer.
Well, I definitely agree with that. I've called you the Fun Officer to other people before as well.
Thank you.
But what originally made you go for the role?
Oh, I've got a real sob story here if you really want to hear that. Oh, you can hear that, to be fair. I've told this to, like, university higher-ups as well, so this isn't just for you. Basically, in my first year at uni, I was the victim of a mugging on campus. I say mugging. I actually managed to run away, but it was still quite a shocking experience for me that one could be very nearly attacked by three people on campus. And it shook me up quite a bit, and as much as my family and friends supported me and I could throw myself into my course, it wasn't really enough. And so I did sort of lots of then stuff with society, threw myself into several student groups, and they sort of brought me back from what was quite a dark place. And there's a real sense of community and unity there. And so societies have always had quite a positive relationship on me in a personal sense, which I've been very grateful for. And so, COVID then happened, obviously, and I sort of saw as a student, when we came back, there wasn't that same sense of community and unity, especially amongst, well, just in general, to be honest, but my interest, my focus was always societies. And so that's what sort of motivated me to run in the end, to recreate that sense of unity and community. And that's sort of been what's driven me throughout my first 4 months in the role now. Yeah, it was 4 months, 6 days ago.
Wow. Well, I agree that society is definitely a massive part of university life. But what would you say to sort of, say, the freshers of this year who perhaps haven't got involved with any so far? Any particular message to them?
I think it is a massive positive to one's student experience joining a society or student group. I know lots of friends who in their first year did not get involved in student groups. And when they then later did in their second and third years, it really was good for them. I think in your first year as well, when you're sort of just floating around a lot of time, not knowing what you're doing, or a lot of it is focused on, you know, you're trying to go to every club night, you're trying to go out loads, you're trying to balance your workload, stuff like that. You might not realise to your second year that I'm actually having that sort of outlet for my hobby, my passion, skill, whatever it might be, personal development. Because that's the other thing with societies. I think a lot of people don't realize the breadth there are here. They probably know about their course ones, or if you don't, you all have course societies. Well, most of you do. I think I'd say 95% of courses have a course-based group supporting them, so try and go get involved in that. But then there are societies relating to lots of just general hobby stuff. You have your Taylor Swift Society, your BDSM Society, your Medieval Combat Society, examples like that. You have your political and campaigning groups, if you want to do stuff like that. There are careers groups. There are your media groups, such as URN, doing this very thing now. There are loads. This was all the sports clubs, but that falls under Sean, the sports officer's remit, so I'm not going to do too much of that right now. But there's just so much that I think, yeah, it can take some people a while to realise what actually is there. And as well, just because you haven't gone and joined a society in the first week, I remember my first year, I joined the Creative Writing Society in Term 2. It's something I'd always wanted to do because I like writing creatively. But I never known anyone to go with and never... Yeah, I just never had the gumption to go and do it. But then in Term 2, just 1 week in February, I found a friend and we were like, okay, let's go along. And then we went along and I went there for another year and a half until COVID struck. Now, I didn't really go back after that, but that's part of the unity and community thing that I don't feel has been built back. But my point is that in that second term, I just went to this group and they were welcoming. It was brilliant and I stayed there. And all groups are so, so, so welcoming. They're happy to take you in any time of the year. If you want to just try something without paying a membership fee immediately, most groups are very lenient with coming along for just a session or so to see if you like it or not. So just give things a go is the main message I sort of say. If you just got an inkling, you just want to try something, give it a go. People are friendly. People want to make friends at the end of the day. And it's that shared interest which brings people together.
No, that's so fair. And so, I suppose, sort of give us an inkling into what your inklings were. So what sort of societies were you part of when you was a student?
So there was the Creative Writing Society, as I mentioned, the English Society. I was ended up being president of that in my third year, so that was cool. I did loads of stuff with NSTV last year. I made the TV show Little Knots. If anyone hasn't heard of that, go check it out.
I didn't know that you made that.
Didn't you?
No.
Really? No, I conceived it. I wrote it, directed it, produced it, casted for it, edited most of it. Some people claim he edited a lot as well, and some people did. But I had quite a bit of editing involvement, which was nice. Marketed it, promoted it. So, yeah, I did a lot. So that was that. Did you watch it?
I remember watching the first part. Oh, that's another quick question for you. How come it was episode one, three parts? Rather
four
than
parts.
Four parts rather than four episodes.
So in hindsight, this was a mistake. because what I'd done, I'd written one episode and it was about an hour long. And I at the time thought, okay, we'll just release that hour episode. But the Finn McKenzie was like, you should probably break it up a bit. And at first I was like, no, let's not. But then I thought about it more and was like, okay, we could split it into four parts as part of episode one. But in hindsight, it would have made far more sense to go episode one, episode two, episode three as part of like part one. Do you know Marvel movies?
No,
because there's like people who know Marvel movies, you know, it's like phase one, phase two, phase three, phase four. This could have been phase one in theory of the Little Knots universe. But we're just, so we're currently working on episode two, which will now become a part two, because it's going to be episode five, episode six, episode seven, episode eight, in theory. But that's something I'm working on alongside this job. But that's Little Knots and NSTV. Do you have any other Little Knots questions, or I can go back to...
Nothing to do with Little Knots, but I suppose talking about your job, since you know you've accepted the role, what sort of... You know, what sort of initiatives have you brought in so far? I mean, I know there's a big one, but I'll let you explain that.
Okay, there is a big one. What I might quickly do is just talk about some of the other groups I was involved in first, because I have got about six others that I just don't want to demean by not talking about. But it was obviously Impact Magazine. Well, not necessarily, obviously, but I did a lot for them in my first and second year. I was science editor in my second year, so did quite a lot back then, which was all good fun. That was when I wanted to be a journalist, and now I don't really want to be a journalist. I might do, I don't know, and that's another topic. So there's that. I did Public Speaking Society for a little bit in my first year. I went to Poetry and Spoken Word Society. I went to Hide and Seek Society, Hide and Sock. They are great fun. I once went to what is it called? I think it's called the Improv Society. That was wacky and wild, but again, I loved it. Great fun. Jumpers for Goalposts. It's not a sports club. It's a society that's just a very casual football. And probably more. But no, there was all that. That was good.
Well, no wonder you became activities officer with all those different societies, eh?
Yeah, it does kind of fit, doesn't it?
I'm pretty much stuck within URN. But yeah, I suppose now, sort of back onto the job, now that we've given the other societies sort of the love they deserve, you know, what sort of initiatives have you come up with so far?
So my main one has been Mooch Live.
A massive success.
It has been an absolutely raucous success. So my manifesto, it had five key themes. And since I've grown in the role, you sort of, I will talk about this a bit later probably, but when you run for election, you have all these big ideas and dreams without knowing any idea about what the students union like, how it works. So you have to revise what's possible. And then, as we all know, there's a cost of living crisis going on, which bites students, but also bites us as well in terms of how far our money goes in running events. So part of my manifesto was to do some big events. And originally it was going to be big showpiece events that would happen a few times a year. So Nottingham's Got Talent was kind of the signature one. And I'll talk about that a bit more in a bit. But what I was also interested in was doing small, regular events that students didn't have to pay for. Students could just rock up at. They could go and meet new people, bond at. And the principal idea of this was live music, because I had a lot of student friends throughout my time here who did live music on the side. And they were brilliant. I didn't necessarily like their genre of music, nor did I know their songs. But when I went to one of their gigs and was just in that room, that environment of people all there for the same reason, enjoying it, it was such a really good feeling, a real sense of community and unity, which are the sort of two buzzwords I always come back to. And so the first step was this Mooch Live Music idea, because I'm also quite a frequenter of Mooch, as friends would tell you over the years. And I was like, let's put some live music on in there, because We don't do that. There had never been anything really on in Mooch in my time as a student. They used to do stuff a very long time ago. But basically, my whole thing has been bringing that back. And thankfully, I had the real backing of the music societies, which really helped, because without them, reaching the interest of students would have been a lot harder. But Jake, who does URN, but also does the mic, he reached out to me in, I think, a couple of months after I'd come into the role, maybe late July, early August, not a couple of months, probably a couple of weeks. He reached out to me. A lot of the music societies as well were supporting him, just saying, oh, we want to do this live music stuff at Mooch. And I was like, we're on the same wavelength, my boy. And since then, I've done the, we did the not the casting, the auditioning for it, promoted it. Andy Ho shared it, which got us lots of applicants. And we had loads and loads of student musicians sign up.
Well, we had URN's own Alexa perform last week, I believe.
Yes, we did, and Alexa was wonderful. She was there at one of those first auditions. Did you go to that one?
I did. It was a good night. And we had Murder Capital on that night as well.
We did have the Murder Capital, and I'll be honest, I don't know who they are. I still don't really know who they are.
Most controversial opinion in the SU right there.
I wouldn't say so, but the fact that we managed to get a band of that calibre there for a real... Because they're a specific genre that I didn't know, because I'm quite a cheesy ocean man and I don't think Murder Capital play there. But to be able to attract a group like that with the following they do, I thought was brilliant. And testament to URN for getting them on, but also testament to the event in general, how successful it has been, that a group like that would want to perform at our venue. So that was really good. And it is run now for 7 weeks today. We've got another musical session tonight at the time of recording. And... Well, yeah, it was meant to stop today. This was meant to be the last one. But because we've got such interest, we're keeping it going for another 3 weeks and then we'll restart it again next term.
Well, that's good news.
It is good news for any student musicians out there. Although we have such a catalogue of people interested now. But we're always taking new applicants because a large part of it as well is trying to group the nights by theme, because we don't want... I mean, sometimes we do want a contrast in theme, but we try and keep it of a similar ilk on some nights. Like, for example, we have a couple of people who want to rap, but you can't really put a rap along with something more chill and harmonious, so we kind of want to group all them sort of acts together, I think would be a good thing to do. But yeah, so by all means, keep applying, because we want to group people together based on their genre, and we just need more people from a different genres, and that's what we're really encouraging. You think of the traditional, you're a band that sings, I don't know, name me a generic song that bands will sing in Summer of 69. We've had a few people do that. We've had so many people do Valerie. Valerie has been on every week. Where Is My Mind has been on loads as well. But people think it's just those, not generic songs, I love those songs, but we can branch out into other things and we're absolutely willing to. We'd love to do more cultural nights. We had a Latin American night a few weeks ago, which was such a good sight, seeing people from that culture celebrating and then people from other cultures as well just enjoying that music. So we're open to so much experimentation at Mooch Live, because it's bringing in crowd, it's bringing in money, which is important, so we can actually run it, because there are tech costs. And also shout out to Tech are a student-run service. They don't get as much love as they deserve, but they set up the tech every single week and are brilliant for it. And Bandsock do so much as well in providing equipment as well. There are a real few key stakeholders in this that make it happen. As much as I'm the organisational face of it, there's so much that goes on behind the scenes. Which I couldn't do the event without them people. So,
no, but Mooch Live is a great success. So anyone listening to this interview now, make sure on a Thursday at 7, is
eight.
It? At 8, almost there.
Yeah.
Get yourself down to Mooch and listen into that. But aside from Mooch Live, you know, what sort of other plans and initiatives have you got in the works?
Yeah. So as noted, there were these irregular large-scale events we were planning. Because of budgeting and finance, we're only going to really be able to do one. And that one is going to be a collaboration with Nottingham Trent. We're going to do, it's in essence a society varsity, but we can't call it that. It's going to be some point in February, hopefully. And we're going to have a week of society v society, quite casual competitions. So sort of chess club v chess club, debate unions debating, cocktail societies making a certain set of cocktails. We're being really creative with it, whatever societies can come up with, so pairing them with their Trent counterparts, although we do have a lot more groups than Trent, so we don't know how that might work in practice. And at the end of the week, have a culmination showpiece event at their venue, because they do have a very good venue for a big event, which is a Nottingham's Got Talent performance thing, where we'd have the media groups there recording, presenting in some cases, filming it. We'd have some judges built up of maybe former activities officers, member of staff, maybe the president. Well, we don't have a president, but Trent have a president. We have Sully, the union development officer. there. So that's the big event we're kind of going for. In terms of what's sort of come up in my sort of remit so far, Activities Ball in itself has become quite a big thing this year. Obviously, it's a thing every year, but the last one lost quite a bit of money, and we had some feedback from the students that maybe it wasn't what they were wanting. I quite enjoyed it when I went along, and I know lots of people did enjoy it, but lots of people didn't. And if we want to engage more students in it, we've got to have a bit of a rethink of what it's going to look like. And so that's actually quite a big project I didn't think I'd have to work on. I thought it would just run itself, but I'm now working on in terms of getting a bit of student focus groups going along, a bit of student feedback that I can then directly act on. So we're considering different things, like maybe doing it at a venue in town, maybe doing it more a gala than a ball, all sorts of things we're kind of thinking about. But that's why we're doing focus groups, to talk about that. But that in itself becomes a large-scale event project, which does contribute to an objective of mine, but is, yeah, I'm interested to see what it comes out looking like. Did you go Activities Ball last year?
Not last year, no.
No, you should have done that. but we're trying to make it this year where people can't miss it. They want to go. And fundamentally, it is an award tonight. It's about rewarding student groups, societies for the amazing things they've done throughout the year. And so that's why we really want to spotlight it this year. So there's that. I'm trying so hard to boost student engagement this year. I'm really trying to be, in many ways, the face of Activities, societies, people know, or student groups know they can come to me about any issue. And I feel I've had quite a lot of success with that. Media groups especially, I think most of you know who I am now, which is brilliant. And a lot of the SRSs, Carney, Tech, not the music societies naturally, but just in general, people message me about their society issues, which is what I'm here for. I might not know the answer, and a lot of the time I don't, but I can signpost you to the person who will know the answer, who'll be able to solve your problem.
Well, that's perfect. And also, speaking of feedback and, you know, society engagement, how's that been specifically with some of the other campuses, such as Sutton Bonington, Jubilee? I know you went down to Sutton Bonington last week as well. You know, how did you find it?
So we've always had, well, I don't know that we've always had, but lately with Sutton Bonington, we've had some just engagement issues in general. I think we used to have a member of staff there. I think her name was Gail, but don't quote me on that, who did loads of stuff over there working for SB. But she moved elsewhere. I think she's still around doing brilliant work. But there's no direct SU point of contact always there. I don't even know if Gail was SU, but I've just heard of this Gail character. She was very well respected at SB. And also this year, so there's the SB Guild. And they have been very big in the past, but this year they only have 3 committee members. And boy, do they do a good job. But in theory, that needs, I think someone said it should be a full-time job to run that, which just shows how much there is to do. Because it is his own campus there. And when they are, in theory, leading on that, it's so much to do. And so I've been really working on trying to listen to SB groups this year. Me and Daisy, community officer, a lot of Daisy's objectives lie around getting SB more involved in stuff. And in terms of how I've been working on SB, I did SB Council, which was it last week? I think it was Monday last week. I go to SB every Monday. I personally go out there. I spend 4 days at Uni Park, but one day at SB, which I think is a good enough balance, considering most of the groups are on Uni Park. But I still go to SB every week. I'm there every Monday, guys. So come find me in the, I think it's called the Nest, in the Nest. But I will be around, so just message me on campus. But last Monday we did SB Council. It was the first ever one, and it was something that, so our Activities Council, we had it in early October, and there was such high engagement with that, which was brilliant. But the feedback from SB groups was that, well, it's very hard for us to get there because it's at 5 o'clock. Their lectures, because they're all vet students for the most part, finish at 5. So getting to Uni Park from SB, very difficult to do in half an hour. Some people did it. So I think it was one person who did it. Well done to her. I can't remember her name off the top of my head. I apologise. But well done, you. But it was called for an SB council, which had never been done before. And I was like, OK, let's make that happen. So we made that happen last week, and it was really successful. About half the student groups at SB were there, which I think it's quite a good turnout for the first ever one. And in general, when engagement is quite low across the board post-COVID, which is something, like I say, I'm working on. But it was very good, very successful. We learnt a lot. I took so much out of it. Sean, the sports officer, also came along, because there are lots of issues relating to how SB sports clubs, so there's like SB football, SB, I think there's SB netball, SB rugby, stuff like that. They aren't under UN sport like our sports clubs are. So they don't get, so they're actually fall under me as activities officer. And as much as I will try to help them with every ounce of my being, I don't have those connections to Yeoman Sport, the knowledge that Sean has. So it was really useful to have Sean out there as well. But all sorts of concerns were raised with me as well, in relation to transport, relation to buses, which is actually being worked on, by the way, guys. We're, I think there's a meeting next week regarding the bus situation. For some reason, from 1 till 4 p.m., a bus does not run from SB campus to Kegworth, where they all live. So there's 3 hours where they are just stranded there unless they have a car, which naturally is expensive, and then there's cost of living concerns. So that's quite ridiculous. But there's stuff along there. There's storage concerns. There's general engagement concerns. So we're trying to run a few events at SB as well, but that's more a long-term kind of thing. We're trying to do something similar to Mooch at SB as well, but that's more next term. But I think the point more than anything is that this is a starting block. This is where we're going to sort of broach out from here. So we've we've done this first SB council. We've got this SB feedback. And then from there, we can just then go and just keep a good working relationship with SB for the future, because I think they feel very disconnected from the issue, which is understandable because we've got the Portland building, it's on University Park campus at the end of the day, and there's not a lot of SU presence over there. So the more we can do starting from now to get ourselves over there, I think is brilliant, because there are so many students over there. It's not like just a little cornered off bit, it is loads and loads of students. But yeah, and then there is Jubilee and there's Derby. I've not been over to Derby yet. Jubilee, I've been over to here and there, but again, there's not that same SU base. But the thing with Jubilee is that it's a lot easier to get to the Portland building from Jubilee. Not that everything happens in the Portland building, but it's also a lot easier for me to hop over to see a group over there. And there are very few. I don't know if there are any Jubilee-specific groups. Whereas there are for SB, there are for Derby. So there's a lot more flexibility with Jubilee. I think there's a postgrad event at Jubilee which is very successful that we were nearly involved in. We just found out about it too late. But there's potential, more potential to be involved at Jubilee for sure. But a lot of it so far has been settling in and getting your sort of 2 feet on the ground and then being able to then go and approach more ambitious things.
No, that sounds good. It's nice to, because I've been to SB myself and I know that they often feel sort of not abandoned, but not as well taken care of as the main campuses. So, you know, very reassuring to see that you're going down there every Monday. But I suppose sort of my final question to you, Joe, is sort of look into the future. You know, what projects have we got coming up? Is there anything you can give us an insight into?
So there is, well, I mean, the big thing right now is the referendum coming up. I don't know when this is being released. If it's released before the referendum, then great. But we'll leave that whatever. But there's a referendum on UCU strikes happening. So UCU are striking again over the variety of conditions and stuff. They're striked, I think that's the term, strucketh for over the previous few years. And every year the officer committee has decided themselves to support the strikes, which is fair. We do have that power. But what we wanted to do is put it to the students this year, because there have been lots of complaints about the strikes previously. There have been lots of concerns this year with cost of living, about where students' money is going and stuff like that. So we just wanted to put it to the students to see whether or not they want us as a student union body that supports the students to go and support these strikes. And whatever way it ends up going, if it says that students support the strike, then wholeheartedly we'll support the strikes. If they don't, then the same applies. We won't be going and ripping into UCU, but we'll take a lot less of an active presence in theory. But we have no idea. We have absolutely no idea how it's going to play out. And I myself am trying to keep as neutral as possible. I'm just trying to share information, put it out there, and just let students decide for themselves. Because I think that's what we should be doing as officers as far as possible, trying to provide this neutral platform during this, what is quite a political and quite, not necessarily controversial, quite heated topic at times. So I just want students to be best informed with making their decision, I think. So that's quite a big thing coming up. In general, like I said, I've got this refreshers event coming up. We've been doing university challenge trials. We're going to have elections next term, obviously. So I encourage people to run. Whether or not I'll be running again is a mystery, but I like keeping that mysterious. But yeah, I mean, Mooch Music will continue. Lots of more. The thing I found, Ben, is that stuff just comes up that you just don't think about and Activities Ball was a huge one. Halloween came out of absolutely nowhere, and they were like, do you want to run a Halloween event 2 weeks before? I was like, yeah, but I just didn't have time to do anything for it. Wobble Week, again, sort of, I had a bit more planned time for Wobble Week, but when it actually came to doing it, it was just, stuff just comes out of nowhere, and it meant that what happened, it was still successful. I'm still trying to work on the video we made and actually get that released, but there's just so much stuff that just appears. So as much as I can plan for things and do things, it's a case of just responding a lot to things as they happen and ensuring that students know that I, Joe Paternoster, as activities officer, am there for them in any society, student group, event, fundraising related capacity that they need. And we'll keep doing fundraising initiatives. Carney do loads of great stuff at the moment, which is great. We're doing loads of November stuff, which is brilliant. There'll be all the sort of campaign months, history months, stuff like that, also to come throughout the coming months. But I just want students to know I'm there for them, essentially, is the key ethos. And I'm sure that echoes the sentiments of the other officers as well. But I'm one of the more student-facing ones, and so it's something that lends itself more naturally to my role, I think. I'm always in the Portland building, everyone, is the rule, apart from Amanda.
Apart from a Monday. But yeah, thank you so much for speaking to me, Joe, and thank you for being here, and thank you for, you know, still sticking your fingers into the URN pie. Yeah. We've been happy to have you.
That's what I do. Thank you very much, Ben, appreciate it.
We're on campus and we're online.
We're online.
University
Radio
Nottingham.